session. Mr. Harris, would you please lead us in the pledge? Comments from board members. Mr. Crawford? Comments from board members. Ms. Markle?
No, I don't have anything.
Mr. Harris?
No.
Mr. Fleury? Mr. Miller? No comments. Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association, Operating Engineers Local Union 3, CSEA 326-648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Union, no public comments, no public comment cards. Move on to Superintendent's Report, Dr. Todd.
Although it's been kind of a quiet summer, there's lots of work going on, certainly here at the district office, working on getting the staff development ready for the August, which is just around the corner, session. So although it's quiet, we're all very busy, so it's kind of nice to have a little lull, although our summers used to be really quiet. Now they're just sort of quiet. And with that, I'm going to end my report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. We'll move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of June 26th and minutes from the special board meeting of July 9th. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Second. Motion by Ms. Markle, seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes. Okay, consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled on a consent agenda?
Please pull personnel services item number 3, please.
Personnel services number 3. Would anybody like anything else pulled? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes. Okay, we'll go back to personnel services number 3, a certificated leave of absence. Mr. Harris?
I wanted to vote on this separately and see if there was any additional information that we needed. No?
Actually, there is a development regarding this particular item in that originally the employee requests the extended leave of absence given the having exhausted all available leaves. The employee has now been fully cleared and released to work, and so the two items then are kind of contradictory. So I would recommend that action be taken. Since the employee is now cleared to work, it's just a matter of waiting for an opportunity for her to be reinstated.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carrion. Personnel services number 3, certificated leave of absence. Is there a motion?
Make a motion that we vote that for non-approval of the leave of absence.
Okay, motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second to that motion? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes. Okay, we'll move on to new business. Proposed charter for the Paragon Collegiate Academy Charter School. We'll hold a public hearing, Dr. Todd.
I do see some representatives here from Paragon Collegiate Academy. So they have requested to have a 2-year extension to their current charter application. And so they are here tonight to share with you why they think you should do that for them. So I see approaching the podium Lisa Rees, the principal of Paragon, and so I'm sure she's going to have a few things to share with you.
So as she said, I'm Lisa Rees, the principal at Paragon. Our charter was originally approved February 16th of 2010, and it expires in June of 2013. We did only start serving students just this past year, so Paragon has only had 1 year of any kind of academic testing or any education going on. It was the previous 2 years were building and getting the school ready for the students. And so with that, we are asking for an extension to our charter for the 2 years so that we can have data to show you. Right now, if we were to go through the renewal process, we don't have STAR test scores to show. We do have our internal testing, but we also don't have 2 years to even show at this point any kind of growth for the students. Anything at this point, our charter really hasn't changed from what was originally approved by the board. The only thing that have changed is some of the curriculum that we're using. We did just start. We have all of our science FOSS kits have come in. All of our social studies curriculum is here now. We have just got accelerated reader. We got accelerated math that's all here. So this summer, everything came. Last year, we had kind of bare bones just to get things started. And so this year, we now have everything we could possibly want. We did turn in finances to Dr. Todd as well, showing our 3-year plan for our finances and our budget. In that, there was a lot of iffies, if we get this and if we get that. Did want to let you know that we were approved for the revolving loan, so we got the $250,000 revolving loan. We also applied for the deferral exemptions and got that. So we will be submitting an updated budget to you to show you that our finances are completely stable. So we're in good standing with our finances, and so we're kind of excited about that. We did have last year about 110 students, and this year we're shooting for somewhere between 120 and 135 students. Our enrollment is steady. There's constantly students coming in right now during the summer, and we haven't really done a whole lot of advertising, so that's a good sign as well. So our enrollment is increasing right now. So, again, we're just asking for that 2-year deferral just so we can actually have something to show to come to you with and say this is why we think we should be renewed. At this point, it's just we've been in operation for 1 year. There's not a lot to show except for this is what we have. So.
Is there anybody else wishes to come up? Nobody else? Comments, questions from the board?
I had not been on their campus, so after the graduation, Lisa showed me around the school, and actually I talked to my daughter about transferring my couple grandkids there, and because we couldn't arrange the transportation where it would coincide with her job, we decided not to. But I was very impressed with the school when I went through there, and as I always ask, I ask the kids, what do you like best about the school, and if you could change one thing, what would you change? And I got very good answers, so I was impressed spending the morning there after graduation.
When are we making, this is a public hearing and we're not having an action today, so when will the action be taken?
That will take place on August 28th, I believe is the date. We have a timeline to follow, so the first 30 days since the application has been turned in, we hold a public hearing, and then after that, it's another 30 days for the board to take action. That just gives us enough time to do a review of their executive summary, which we've been working on. A couple of things we still need to tweak to meet our requirements, and then also to have their financials reviewed by Terry Ryland. You'll remember her. She has done that for us before. And so at that time, just prior to them coming in, we'll get all those results back, and then we will have a presentation from Mrs. Ryland, and I will share with you our view of how they're doing with their executive summary and the goals and objectives and the measurements and all of those things that we look for a successful school, and then I will make a recommendation to the board whether to approve the extension or to deny it.
Okay, and then that's 2 years after this next one, so they're in session this next year.
Right. Their current approval is through June of 13.
Right.
So it will be 2 years after June 13th.
Right.
Through June of 15.
Okay.
That was higher math. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I've heard a lot of good things about Paragon, but I'd like to see some more statistics and stuff to verify.
Well, and as the board will remember, they were approved for 3 years. Their first year was a little difficult getting some of the funding, so they asked for a 1-year hold while the clock was still ticking. So this really, although it would have been their second year, it's really only their first year. So they
That's
are
right.
putting the pieces together, and certainly we've done an on-site review and met with Lisa and some of the teachers and walked through classrooms and had a very good site visit. So we anticipate hopefully good things from the review of their financials and from the final executive summary. We've made good progress on that.
I've been real impressed with, I have no idea what that is. I've been very impressed with the advertising that's come out of Paragon. I think it's really good advertising. So if I had a child right this second, I probably would be looking over the school based on your advertising. I think it's very good. And also,
any other questions, comments? Anybody else out there have anything for the public hearing? No? Pardon? Okay. Yeah, I need a motion to close the hearing.
Motion to close public hearing.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes. Mr. Miller, I'm sorry. Okay, a representative from UTA came in, and so I'm going to give her the opportunity to go back for opportunity for employee organizations to address the board.
I'm Inga Schlesler, and I'm with the union, the Marysville Unified Teachers Association, and I'm sorry about being late, although 6:33 I don't think has ever been late for this part of the agenda. Of course, I usually don't come to your summer meeting. And actually, kind of good timing, because I would like to be able to present before you take action on your next item. Okay. I had noticed on the board packet that you have three action items under personnel for putting the benefits of your assistant superintendents and your superintendent all together. Well, actually, what the agenda item says is not that. The agenda item is a change in the contracts. And I tried to find information on what that would be. And from what I can tell, it's consolidating some things into salary. And it, on all three of them on the agenda, says that it's cost neutral, which means that doing something's not going to cost more than what it brings in. This is what was on the agenda, and I mean, everybody's got it with them. And so my disclaimer is just, I've rushed to put this together, and I will point out the parts that I'm not sure of and the parts that I am sure of on this. What I understand right now is that the plan is to incorporate the retirement benefits into the salary, to incorporate the monthly $400 transportation expense stipend into salary, to incorporate the cost of membership to professional organizations into the salary, to incorporate health insurance into the salary. I don't think so, but I'm not sure. And like I said, it was unusual for me that the board packet on the website didn't have this information. It had nothing on it that I could find. So if that's not the case, then fine. And I've left it out of my calculations. Also, I'm not sure if the stipend for advanced degrees, if that's something that is considered or will be, as from this action item, part of the salary or not either, or if there's anything else. If anybody knows of anything else or anything that's wrong on there, that would be helpful, because it was not in the board packet. Okay, well, I'll go forward. This is Dr. Todd's. I just use it as an example. Like I said, I was kind of rushed for time, so I didn't do all three. But for Dr. Todd's, it has for the compensation $180,000. For the stipend for the higher education, it's $4,200. And for the STRS cost, it's 8% of salary, so that would be $14,400 currently. In addition, you have an increased salary risk because, well, you can't read that at all. Down here at the bottom in B, it says that as with management team members, annual increments shall be no less than 5%. The salary will increase 5% every year at a minimum. My understanding is that that's not been happening, but it is in the contract, and so it is a risk to have it in the contract. So if you are changing the contract, it seems like that would be a portion that you'd like to take out. It shows in the contract that professional organizations and the transportation stipend are covered, and that would, my understanding is that that's going to be put into the regular salary. I'm guessing on the $1,200 because that's what I pay a year for my professional organization. The $4,800 is not a guess. That's the transportation stipend of $400 a month. Health insurance, like I said, I don't think that can be put into salary, but because it's fully paid according to the contract, that is an increased cost each year because the cost has been going up. I've presented before the increased health insurance cost, and so if it's fully paid, it's kind of a raise every year when the rest of us are taking a cut. So here's the math. And my reasoning for why it's not a cost-neutral issue. Current salary, $180,000. Educational stipend, having the stipend for having a PhD, $4,200. Organizations, that was the guess, but it's a low guess, $100 a month. The transportation stipend, $4,800. And the current STRS contribution of $14,400. So that total is $204,600. If you were to combine all of those things and call it the salary of this on this contract, it would look like the person got a raise, for one thing. But also, because the district's portion of STRS is 8% of the salary, instead of paying the 8% of the current salary, $180,000, you would be paying 8% on the new $204,600. So salary times 8%, district's portion. So the new STRS contribution would be $16,368, which is an increase of about $2,000, which isn't a lot, but it's not cost neutral. So why it matters right now, when the district is cutting to the bone on what they're spending on, you may want to be able to cut some of the benefits that go beyond what other employees receive. By incorporating these benefits into the salary, you're tying the board's hands, because also in the contract it says that in no event shall the superintendent's salary at any time be reduced below the initial salary stated in this agreement or any subsequent increase in such salary, and this would be an increase. Public perception is going to be that the board gave the three highest paid employees in the district a raise during a summer meeting to avoid public scrutiny. So I just wanted to come and talk to you today to ask you to please be thoughtful. Do you have any questions for me? Thank you.
Inga, I've just got one comment. I would maybe urge you to go back and check some of your numbers. Some of those didn't look accurate to me, so maybe check your numbers, make sure they're correct. I haven't looked at the contract recently, but some of those figures didn't look correct to me, so just to make sure.
Well, I did, and so if there's one in particular that stands out to you, I've got the contract with me. The stipend for transportation is $400 a month.
No, that's just a comment, so
yeah. Okay.
We could check, make sure that your numbers are accurate.
Yeah. Okay. Bottom line, regardless of what the numbers are, if it looks like the salary is increased, if the salary is increased even though the district doesn't pay more in, then 8% of a bigger number is a bigger number. And so the STRS contribution from the district will be higher. And also, like I said, it ties your hands for future changes, possible cuts. Thank you.
Okay, Personnel Services, number one, Resolution 2012-1301, classified particular kinds of services to be eliminated. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, thank you. This particular item is in reference to expected shortfalls as information was delivered to the Child Development Department this summer. In addition to these next couple of items, we will be asking the board to approve grant applications and grant fundings for the Child Development Program. Nonetheless, there is a shortfall that has occurred as a result of expected decreased revenue. And so this first item is in reference to the classified staffing that would then be eliminated and not able to support the current service level given the anticipated shortfall. Again, information that was received this summer, not when we were conducting or taking layoff actions in March and or May affecting classified and or certificated employees. So the first one, more to the point, classified particular kinds of service. We're asking the board to consider eliminating 4 part-time child development preschool aides positions. Thankfully, some of those are vacant right now, and so it wouldn't necessarily affect people going out the door. It may affect and impact the reduction and then the layoff of a couple. I have to be completely open and honest about that. So it would be asking you to eliminate 4 3-hour and 45-minute positions, one of which is completely vacant right now and would remain vacant, of course. And it could be as many as 2 that are vacant right now and unoccupied by employees. So I recommend that you approve this resolution in order for these employees to be notified according to statute. Are there any other questions?
Any questions? No questions. So Personnel Services, number one, Resolution 2012-1301. Is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion by Ms. Markle. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury. And all those in favor? 6 yes. Personnel Services, number two, Resolution 2012-1302, elimination of permit holder preschool and children's center teachers due to elimination of particular kinds of services. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, thank you again. In similar fashion, this item pertains to the actual preschool teachers and permit holders, including those that have site license to supervise a child care center. And as a result, again, of the expected funding shortfall, as communicated to the department director this summer, unfortunately, we will have fewer dollars to support the entire staff, and so we're asking and recommending that the board approve the reduction and the elimination of 2 of those part-time positions of 4.5 hours.
Any questions? No questions. Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor? 6 yes. Personnel Services, number 3. This is declaration of need for fully qualified educators. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, this particular item is an annual item that we bring to you throughout the summer. It basically provides us for flexibility and the ability to pursue applicants or candidates who may not be fully credentialed. We do scrutinize credentials fully in that we have to meet highly qualified status. But in the event, and particularly this tends to be a challenge sometimes with regard to special ed applicants, but it gives us the flexibility by law to consider interns, for example, who have been deemed highly qualified in the most recent decisions at the federal level, in that they do possess an appropriate credential. But not having the complete credential then requires that the board approve this resolution so that we can consider in the event that we can't find fully qualified employees. And this also helps in the arena of substitutes. It would enable us to grant or request that the county grant a 30-day substitute teaching credential to somebody that doesn't meet all of the substitute credential requirements.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carrion. Are there any questions? No questions. Is there a motion?
I move for approval.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Miller. And all those in favor? Six yes. Personnel Services, number four, Reduced Workload Program. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, one last item with regard to personnel action, and that is the Reduced Workload Program request, otherwise and affectionately known as the Willie Brown Act. And it essentially enables an employee, in this case a teacher, certificated employee, to work less than full-time and still receive full-time service credit. There is a small additional cost to the district in that the district pays the district's portion of the employee's retirement service credit as the employee continues to pay his or her full-time service credit contribution. In this case, the two employees seeking to continue working under this program would be working at 60%. In the case of one, this employee has worked several years and it technically would be on her last year according to the new board policy that allows an employee to be under the reduced workload program for a total of 5 years and then separating from the district. The other employee has worked before under this program in a previous year, is considering retirement in the near future. She actually has more time if she wishes, but it's my understanding that she's considering retirement at the end of this year, and if not, she'll probably seek one more year under this program. At any rate, given that there is a bit more of an increased cost to the district, and it would allow the two employees to continue working for the district under this program. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Okay, is there a motion?
I'll move for approval.
May I interject? I know that the board members did receive a letter from one of these employees seeking approval, and this agenda item would not, as it is written, as it is stated, would not reverse or grant her what she is requesting, because the agenda item is not written in that manner. It's not written in a way that you would ask that or that you would grant that her request for reinstatement into the reduced workload program under a 5-year program. This simply pertains to allowing her to remain in that program for the subsequent school year.
Yeah, we actually got letters from both employees, and it pertains to the one that had talked about the 10-year, not the other one. Okay, any questions? Okay, is there a motion?
Yeah, motion by Margie.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have a motion by Ms. Markle. Is there a second?
No second. No second. Dies to a lack of a second. Yeah. Does somebody want to make a different motion? Motion by Mr. Harris to not approve.
Is there? Is that what you want? A motion?
Seconded by Mr. Crawford.
Do we want a motion?
Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay, motion by Mr. Harris, seconded by Mr. Crawford, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so the motion carries 6-4.
Six.
I mean, 4-2,
four,
I'm
two.
Sorry.
4-2.
4-2.
Four,
Educational Services number 1, Resolution 2012-1205. This is the 2012-13 Child Development Program contract. Dr. Todd.
This you see each and every year, and it is an agenda item requesting the board approve this resolution and follow the contract with the State Department of Education. It is for the pre-kindergarten and family literacy program in the amount of $5,000, and the recommendation would be that you approve this resolution.
Questions? Are there any questions? If not, is there a motion?
I'll move for approval.
Motion by Ms. Markle. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor? Six yes. Educational Services number 2, this is 2012-13 Child Development Program contracts. Dr. Todd.
Yes, this speaks specifically to the California State Preschool Program in the amount of $1,445,747, as well as the General Child Care and Development Programs in the amount of $141,184. These are ongoing programs that the district does provide to our community, and I would recommend that the board approve these resolutions.
Any questions? Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
A second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes. Okay, Board of Trustees, number 1, extension and or modifications to contract of employment for the superintendent. The purpose of this item is to request the board approve the extension or modification of the superintendent's contract beginning 8-1-2012. Questions?
Today, when I read my agenda this weekend, I did call Mark today, and I had some questions regarding, and I asked him questions about spiking, and I wanted to make sure this would not be considered spiking the contract, as because we had covered in CSBA recently when we met in March, and I was assured that they have gone through legal counsel and it's not considered spiking. That was my main concern on this, that we did not have a contract that would be considered spiking, as this is being reviewed by the state and the PERS, and I was assured that this is not considered a contract spiking.
Yeah. Could you address what was said at the podium earlier by Muta, so that we get everything clear as to what's out there?
I think Mr. Boom made the appropriate comment, which is she needs to double-check her numbers. My base salary is $168,000. There's another number of other discrepancies there, so I need to see the contract she's got a copy of, because it's not the one that we're currently operating off of. What is being asked here is that it all of those, not all of those, but current compensations be rolled into a total compensation package for myself. And you'll see in items 2 and 3 for the other two assistant superintendents, it is, in fact, cost neutral. And You can view it however you choose, but it is the same dollar amount that the district is currently paying that they will pay for next year for our salaries. So,
as far as the STIRS goes, there's no raise on that. It's frozen. It would be your ball game. It goes up. You get to pay it out of current salary, along with everything else. There's no health benefit involved in this. Your health insurance isn't wrapped up.
My health insurance is not part of the base salary. No, it is not. Or the total compensation package is not part of that. It is all the other, the mileage, which is $400 a month. It is life insurance. It's income protection, those kinds of things that have been in my contract for the last 8 years. It now would just become a part of a total compensation dollar amount. If there's any increases, those would be absorbed by myself. But they are designed, this whole item is designed to be and is cost neutral to the district. And just, go ahead.
If I may interject just from a personnel side, and ultimately, while it is intended to be cost neutral, given the percentages that are required, it will raise slightly the cost in that the district's portion of contribution paid for the employee is 8.25%, and the employee pays an 8% share. So given the total number, there will be a slight increase. On the employee side, the employee is now responsible, the superintendent, as would the assistant superintendents, to pay whatever that increase, of course, on the total, on the new total. And so to that extent, while it is intended to be cost neutral, there is a slight increase, but not given the dollar figures that were projected on the screen.
Any other questions? Comments? Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
While that is correct, it was also very specified clearly that those were the latest contracts, but not the employees not compensated under those contracts, because it was determined that we would revert because of economic times to the old contracts.
Did you hear that, Inga? Did you hear Mr. Carrion?
I heard it.
Okay. Okay. Okay, under Board of Trustees number one, motion by Mr. Harris.
Right, to accept.
Is
modify.
Motion by Mr. Harris to modify to the contract. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Ms. Markle. And all those in favor?
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 6 yes. Board of Trustees number two, extension and or modification to contract of employment for the Assistant Superintendent of Personnel Services.
This item is identical to the one that you just took action on. It is asking that all compensation be rolled into a total compensation amount. It is designed to be cost neutral to the district. Even if there is a slight incremental increase, it's negligible at best. And certainly our goal is to provide the board with a cost neutral proposal, and we believe we've done that.
I'd just like to comment on one thing, and it has to do with STIRS, because for over the years, the STIRS has been a question, you know, of how, you know, we're paying it, so forth and so on. And I think this takes that all away by putting it into one for all the assistant superintendents, yours too. It takes that question away. It also, in the long run, won't cost us money. As STIRS goes up, as life insurance may go up, whatever, you know, these things are going up, and they're going, anything that has to do with insurance is going up at a rocket speed. And all this puts a little cap on it, which we can handle because we'll know what the final line is. And it becomes your problem, and then your taxes, higher taxes and things of that sort. And so in the long run for the district, I think this would be less cost to the district in the long run.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, under Board of Trustees number 2, is there a motion?
I move for approval.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury. And all those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes. Okay, Board of Trustees number 3, extension and or modifications to contract of employment for the Assistant Superintendent of Business Services.
To sound like a broken record, but it is the same as the previous two items, and it is rolling all current compensation into one total compensation amount for the Assistant Sup for Business Services.
Are there any questions or comments? Is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Miller. And all those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes. Okay, Board of Trustees number 4, this addendum to the agenda, adjustment to trustee area boundary. Dr. Todd, would you explain this one, please?
I would be more than happy to do that. As you will remember, back in May, as a result of the most recent census, we employed a consultant to go back and review the census data and to make sure that all of the trustee areas were balanced throughout the district. In doing so, developed a map, you approved that map, and the map that you're seeing tonight is an adjustment because of a clerical error in that the software nor the Google search that most agencies use did not show Mr. Fleury's correct residence. It was picked up as his, I won't say the number, Jim, but the street you live on is Hamilton, and the GIS software picked it up as Hamilton Smartsville Road, and so there is a slight adjustment to the boundaries. The only difference is two voters, which happen to live, I think, probably very close to Mr. Fleury. And so we have made those adjustments in accordance with the elections office, and we've been in close contact with them to make sure that we are meeting all of the appropriate timelines and that this is strictly a clerical error that has been resolved to the elections committee voter registration folks to their satisfaction. So we have the new revised map, and it is there for your review, and I would recommend your approval of that new map.
It's under Board of Trustees number 4, adjustment to trustee area boundary. Is there any questions? Is there a motion?
Motion to approve the adjustment in the trustee area.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Miller. All those in favor? 5 yes, abstentions. 1, Mr. Fleury abstains. Okay, business services number 1. This is ratify emergency award, LHS gas leaks. Mr. Allgaier.
Thank you. Good evening. Unfortunately, we recently had another gas leak at Lyndhurst, simply due to the age of the gas lines. And, of course, when that happens, we have to take immediate steps to have it repaired. If it exceeds $15,000, then we need to come back to the board and ratify it as an emergency award since it exceeds the bid limit. Unfortunately, this one just barely exceeded $15,000. So, obviously, I'm going to ask the board to ratify this work. It's already been done and the vendor's been paid.
Any questions?
How many times have we actually had back as 1975 gas leaks have been reported at Lyndhurst High School? How many times are we going to keep going back and repairing the gas leaks? How many times, if roughly, if we looked at the smell of gas at Lenners High School. Are we getting them repaired permanently, or is it?
The short answer is no, and the reason is the overall cost. These gas lines run underneath all what we generally refer to as the quad area at Lyndhurst High School.
Sure.
So it's a $1 million project, believe it or not, because to really fix this, you would have to tear up a good portion of the quad, which is already in poor repair with trip hazards and other things, and basically you would demo the entire quad area, including in between the buildings, and then redo the whole thing, and then you would replace all the gas lines and any other utility, underground utilities that are in the way. So at this point, we have elected to fix, to repair the problems as they occur rather than replace the lines.
Thank you.
Fletcher's, I believe. Does it say? It's usually Fletcher's. They do good work.
Yeah, it says Fletcher's.
Yeah, it
here.
Says Fletcher's, yeah, and they do a nice job for us. One other comment. They are, as we make these repairs, they do insert shutoffs and other features so that if there's hopefully another leak, then it can be isolated more quickly. The existing lines basically are devoid of those things.
As parents read about this, is there any danger to the students or faculty in these situations?
Of course, is as soon as a leak is suspected, then maintenance is called, PG&E is called, Fletcher's is called. PG&E has basically the authority to shut down buildings and evacuate them if necessary, and we've had to work around gas shutoffs to the kitchen and other buildings on campus while the repairs are being made. Obviously, safety is a primary concern. And as I said, PG&E can come out and basically close things down until they're satisfied that there's no danger.
Any other questions? Okay, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Markle. All those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes. Business services number 2, actuarial study to retiree health liabilities. Mr. Alvarez.
Thank you. This is one of the world's most exciting items. We are required by law to have an actuarial study and update it every 2 to 3 years because we offer post-retirement health benefits, as you know, up to age 65. So that does make us subject to this law. You have in your packet, and here is the official actuarial study. It's done by Total Compensation Systems. There are a lot of requirements that go into the study. However, we follow the pay-as-you-go method, which is the minimum funding. Simply, the amount of cash we need to pay the benefits is what we budget. That is not in accordance with GASB 43 and 45. However, I don't want to belabor this item because we're in no position financially to pay any more than the pay-as-you-go method. Any of the more actuarially sound methods would be more expensive. So, we don't invite the actuary to come and make a presentation. I would simply ask the board to approve the report. Puts us in compliance with the law.
Any questions?
Just for my information, I was asked this: Do we pay retiree benefits?
We pay retiree medical benefits, depending on the bargaining contract, up through age 65. The month that the employee turns 65 is the last month they're eligible, and so, the eligibility criteria differ among the bargaining units.
In other words, they can retire. Basically, they can retire at 55 and draw benefits till they're 65.
Well, again, it depends on the bargaining unit for the specific eligibility requirements. But yes, but that's not a retirement. These are health benefits. This is totally separate from retirement benefits like STIRS and PERS. Yeah, we pay almost $1 million a year currently, somewhere around $1 million a year in for that program.
And this includes teachers' retirement, correct?
Yes, there are definitely teachers in the program. There are also classified and retired administrators in there also.
And they give 15 days?
Yes.
Back to the district?
Yes, again, that depends on the bargaining contract as to what the rules are about that, but yes.
But that's what we see in when they do their letter of retirement, saying
yes,
that they want to participate with in the health benefit program. That's the program they're talking about.
Any other questions? Business services number 2, is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion by Ms. Markle, is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fleury, all those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes.
Okay.
Yes. We had two big, it was a tie.
Yes. I heard one
more. Business services. Number 3, public hearing for draft initial study and mitigated negative declaration for the Hamden-Smartville school project. Mr. Allgaier.
Thank you. We are in the public comment period for our draft initial study and mitigated negative declaration. I'm guessing there aren't going to be too many public comments this evening. The public comment period does end on July 28th. The board did receive the initial study itself. This document is the initial study with all the appendices printed out, and believe it or not, Michelle and I have read all this stuff. It just doesn't show up on our lap unannounced. We've been working on this for a number of months. Michelle does take the lead, and our consultant is Rincon. So at the end of the public comment period, whatever public comments we receive in writing, which is the primary typically the primary way we get comments is in writing, or any public comments this evening, which is likely to be zero, then the consultants will prepare a response to all comments, which of course we will review before they're final, and then we hope to bring the document back to the board on August 14th for approval. This document is available. Help me out. Where is the document? The library, where else? In the county recorder's office. And, of course, we have additional copies that people can come in and use and take if they wish. So, with that said, I'd ask to do the public hearing and see if anybody comes up.
Okay, we'll hold the public hearing now. Is there any questions, comments, anybody? If not, I need a motion to close the hearing.
Motion to close.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
6 yes. Okay, business services number 4. This is presentation of information related to the 2012-13 state budget. Mr. Allgaier.
Okay, I'll go quickly. I think there's 17 slides. Again, this is the full binder, I went to the conference last Thursday. It's another case where there's really no good news. So, again, these are selected slides, thanks to school services, from their conference binder. And again, I won't read these, I'll just highlight certain things. As they state, this is the fifth year of the deepest cuts ever made to public education in California, with no end in sight. Excuse me. Next bullet, state avoids deeper immediate cuts to education by replacing an immediate cut with the threat of a larger one later. We're seeing that again this year. State general fund revenues down about 15%, which has been a cut to education funding that is maintained through the current year. As you've heard me say many, many times about all the various cuts to our revenue that the district has absorbed, and with no restorations and the likelihood that it could get worse again. Go to the next page. Cuts to education are likely to continue. And here's a key point that I will continue to say no matter how many times you've heard it. Even if the taxes proposed by Governor Brown in November pass, we will not get any more money. That money goes to the state general fund. It does not go to education. The public is confused, no surprise. I don't blame them for being confused. The state declares that the Prop 98 goes up and schools are getting more money when in reality we're not. Claims that education funding are going up are simply untrue.
Mr. Allgaier.
Yeah.
Going back to your first bullet point in the purple or the box, uh-huh. Even if temporary taxes proposed do not increase, none of that money will go to education. It goes to the general fund. But if it doesn't pass, then we'll see more of a reduction.
Yeah, correct? And I'll get to that. Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's another big cut. Now, this is simply a slide that shows what the state basically adopted for the fiscal year subsequent and where they actually ended up at the end of the year. And as you know, in 11-12 in particular, the state assumed they were going to get $4 billion of phantom revenue past the budget, and lo and behold, they're about $4 billion short. So I don't think that really surprised anybody. But you can see they have a pattern of doing that, and this table only includes the last 4 years. The governor's proposal is right now tracking at a 54% approval rate, but it has really no organized opposition at this point. One of the things that was stated at the workshop that isn't on the slide is once the organized opposition basically gears up their campaign, then you can expect about a 10% drop in support, which if that was correct, that means the proposal in November will fail. But right now it does, according to the polls, have a 54% support rate, and today supposedly would pass. Here are some things that are different between the governor's May revision and what the state budget actually was, or as the legislature approved the state budget. A little difference in the trigger cuts. We'll talk more about that in a second. The governor, part of the so-called increase in Prop 98 is being used to buy back deferrals. And one of the key ones that's drawn a lot of press is approval to let school districts reduce their school year by 15 days per year in 12-13 and 13-14 in addition to the 5 days that are already in the books for a total of 20 days. However, it's subject to collective bargaining. And two more on the next slide. The governor proposed some sweeping changes to categorical programs in his weighted student funding. The legislature didn't seem to like that idea very much. And for the time being, home to school and special ed transportation are funded with no flexibility to transfer those funds to any other use, which in our case wouldn't do us any good anyway, because our transportation programs cost exceed what the revenue we get from the state. You've seen this before. This is the chart For an average unified district, based on statutory law, we should be getting $6,748 a student just in revenue limit funds. We're now due to get $5,245, and if the trigger gets go through, we drop to $4,804, which is, I didn't go back and look, but I believe I calculated it is about a $14 million loss to us. So again, the state budget currently would be at $5,245. So where did the Prop 98 money go that supposedly we were supposed to get? And this slide basically breaks it down into four things. Two of them are related to deferrals. And another item where one-time resources are restored with ongoing. And then the state again shifts some non-education spending into Prop 98, which then frees up those funds in the state budget for different uses. So while on paper schools got a $6.7 billion increase in Prop 98, again, we will get no new funding. This is the governor's proposal for November. $8.5 billion in revenues. Again, they say $2.9 billion for schools, but because of manipulating Prop 98, results in no increase in funding. What happens if the initiative fails? Then statute calls for $6 billion in cuts, somewhere between $440 and $460 per ADA, in addition to all the cuts in the past. And again, depending on what number that is, that's somewhere around $4 to $4.5 million to us of additional cuts. Again, that's assuming if it fails. So to beat the dead horse, if it passes, we get nothing. If it fails, we could lose another $4 million. Again, the 15 days subject to collective bargaining. Already talked about that. The revenue limit deficit factor, which you hear me talk about all the time, is currently at 22.272%, which means we get a 23% discount. If the trigger cut goes through, that jumps to almost 29%. So the primary funding loss is given to us by increasing the revenue limit deficit factor, which simply then reduces the money the state owes us. And here's an example. Again, these are based on statewide averages. Based on the current state budget, our revenue limit funding would increase by 21 cents per student. So it's not quite zero, but close. And then if the initiative fails, you can see the deficit factor increases. That's the red. So what we actually get funded, the blue, decreases. And you can see that's where the additional drop, the $400+ decrease comes from. And in this example, we would lose $441.25 per student. I'm sorry, per ADA. There is the Munger Initiative. It's trailing Governor Brown's initiative, but it is on the ballot for November. It is a little different than Governor Brown's initiative. There was also a discussion at the conference about what would happen if they both pass, and the simple answer is the one with the most yes votes prevails. And basically, Prop 98 no longer exists. The legislature for years has simply manipulated it to end up with the answer they wanted, and it really is now just an exercise in bureaucracy, in my opinion. So, that's basically where we are. Our budget is based, our adopted budget was based and is based on the governor's proposals being enacted by the legislature and the November election being successful, and no further cuts of any magnitude. If the November election fails and then the legislature follows through with the cuts, then we will basically be over budgeted in revenue and we'll have to start looking at additional cuts.
Was there any discussion on the high-speed rail and how it's going to affect the state budget?
Oh, yeah, there was a little on it. Conventional wisdom is what the pollsters, you probably read it in the newspaper, people don't really like the high-speed rail project, and the thinking is it will increase no votes on the tax measures, both tax measures in November, simply as a reaction to the high-speed rail project, which is, even though the voters passed the bonds in the past, has apparently become unpopular with the voters.
Okay, any questions? This is an information item only, so there's no action to be taken.
Correct.
So, okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank
Alder.
You.
Okay, that's the last item on the agenda, so the meeting is adjourned.